Well, our text this evening comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The end of chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We're almost to the end. One more chapter left. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. People of God, this is God's very word. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who fall asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And there ends the reading of God's word this evening. So as we make our way back into 1 Thessalonians after our little Easter resurrection break, the Lord, in his providence, has brought us right to another text about the resurrection. How awesome is that? To know that in the resurrection, there's so much power. You know, last week we celebrated the resurrection. We celebrated the defeat of sin, the defeat of the tyranny of the devil, and ultimately, the defeat of death. Where Jesus, our true high priest, became the only sacrifice that could ever pay the price for sin. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, he writes this, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Death could not hold Jesus Christ. 3 days after he was crucified, he rose again from the dead. And now, his church celebrates that. And we have the benefit of everything that he earned in the resurrection. And one of the things that as I was working through this sermon, the Heidelberg Catechism popped into my mind. Lord's Day 17. About the righteousness of Christ in his resurrection and the benefits that we share in that. In the first, in Lord's Day 17, it talks about three things that we share in the resurrection. And the first one is that we share in Christ's righteousness now. That we are covered in his blood. And the second one is that by Christ's power, we are already raised to new life. Sometimes we don't think about that. But in Ephesians, Paul writes that we are right now sitting with the Lord in heaven. You might be looking around thinking, I don't know about heaven. But no, spiritually, we're sitting in heaven right now with the Lord. Raised to new life. And the third one is what Paul kind of brings us into our text. That Christ's resurrection is a sure pledge to us of our blessed resurrection. You know, some look at our text this evening and they think, oh, this is about Christ's return. We got to find out all the details about that. And sure, Christ returns in this text. But that's not where Paul is leading the Thessalonians. And that's not where Paul's leading us this evening as well. Paul's teaching the Thessalonians and us to understand that it's true, our bodies will go into the ground. But what's also true is one day our bodies are going to come up resurrected and glorified. And that should put a smile on all of our faces. So we'll see in our text three things this evening. The first is the hope of the resurrection. The second one is the dead in Christ will raise. And last, that we should encourage one another with these things. This shouldn't be something that we hide. You know, the world giggles at the resurrection, but there's so much power in it. This is something we should be sharing, and we should encourage one another about the resurrection. So if you remember where we left off in Thessalonians, it's been a few weeks, but in the spot where we're at in chapter 4, Timothy is returned to Paul and Silas with great news about how the church in Thessalonica is doing, about their faith. And their faith is growing by leaps and bounds. And the church is growing. But one thing he brought back with was questions. Questions about what Paul was teaching. Things that they probably didn't really get the ideas around. And we think about it. Paul was there for 3 weeks. And he's teaching. Most likely every evening to them. And on the Lord's days. And this is the Apostle Paul here. It was probably like a fire hose coming at him with all the theology and all this doctrine, and they're just sitting back going, wow, Paul. And mostly he was bringing them the gospel. But he's expanding it. Who is Jesus? Now that we're in the church, who are we? But Paul leaves 3 weeks after that, and they're probably thinking after a while, okay, when Paul said that, what did he mean? Or maybe they were too nervous to raise their hand when he said something too fast. And they didn't even get clarification. So now's their opportunity to ask a question to Paul. So he writes back an answer. And one of the things they weren't truly clear on was what happens to those who die before the return of Christ. And one of the teachings that Paul planted in all these churches was that the Lord's going to return. And we need to live like it. Well, they didn't know when he was going to return, but they knew he was going to return. But all of a sudden, people in their church started to die. And they're like, wait a second. Do these people that are dead, do they get to celebrate the resurrection like we do? And so they asked Paul this question. We see in verse 13, Paul wants to be crystal clear about the resurrection. Crystal clear about those who have died before Christ's return. And we read verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." And Paul talks about those who have died as sleeping. And this shouldn't have been a shock to the Thessalonians, and it's definitely not a shock to us. If you think about it, the idea of sleeping, the idea of death and sleeping has been around forever. That both the pagans and the Jews in the first century used that metaphor for death, sleeping. Oh, they're asleep. Think about today, we still say, rest in peace. Rest. The idea of sleep. But for the Christian, we take this idea of sleep for death in a totally different way, don't we? If someone is asleep, they're going to wake up. You know, the Lord had to teach this same thing during his ministry, didn't he? In the Gospel of John. Do you remember the story of Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary? Lazarus is sick. And so Jesus gets the word. He's not only sick, he's really sick. And Jesus says, okay. And he waits 2 days. Enough for Lazarus to die. And this is what Jesus tells his disciples. These things he said. He says, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to wake him up. So what do you think his disciples are thinking? Oh, he's asleep. He'll get better. That's what we do when we're sick. We sleep, we'll get better. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death. But then they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So they're on their way now. to Bethany. And Martha, Lazarus' sister, comes running out to Jesus. She hears that Jesus is coming, and she runs out, and she says this: "If only you had been here, my brother would be alive." Think about that. If only you had been here, my brother could have been healed. She says, "Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? That's a question for all of us. This evening, do you believe that? Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe even though we go in the ground, one day we'll rise again with a glorified body? And this is what Paul's trying to teach the Thessalonians in a letter. And he's just teaching what Jesus taught. And if we do believe what Jesus taught, and he is the resurrection and the life, we're not going to grieve like those with no hope. Notice how he doesn't say, "Don't grieve." Because that's silly. When people die, we grieve. We cry. We're overcome with emotion. Think of Jesus with Lazarus. When he sees his sister, the sisters of Lazarus crying and weeping, he weeps as well. So Paul's saying, don't grieve like the world. You're like, okay, well, how does the world grieve? Well, they grieve because there's no hope. There's no resurrection of the dead. It's just back to the earth. You know, the first funeral I ever did, I was taught this lesson. It was my first year in seminary, and my brother-in-law died. He's 30 years old. And they thought, James is going to be a minister. Let him do the funeral. Oh, okay. So we're doing the funeral. And he had a lot of friends. He served in the military. He was in Afghanistan. So he had both Christian friends and non-Christian friends. And for some reason, I don't know why, the Lord set this up that his non-Christian friends sat on one side of the church. And his family and his Christian friends sat on the other side of the church. And I had never heard wailing for a lost friend that I've heard on that non-Christian side. Never in my life. He was lost. And they were wailing so loud that I had to speak louder in this funeral so they could hear the service. Because they were crying. Because they had no hope. They didn't have it. Ryan was gone. They were never going to see him again. And that's not to say that the Christian side wasn't crying too. They were crying as well. Tears everywhere. But they knew one day we'd see Ryan again. We will see him again. He loved the Lord. But we have hope, don't we? We have hope. In the resurrection. We have hope in what Jesus did when he rose from the grave. And Paul says this in verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." That's our hope. When we lose loved ones, when we lose friends, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And that was one of the benefits in the Heidelberg, wasn't it? That's what makes Jesus different from any other religion in the whole world. Think of Islam. Think of Buddhists. Think of Hinduism. There's no hope Jesus gives us hope. Paul says this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The first one to rise out of the ground, alive, glorified. And that's what he's trying to tell the Thessalonians here, who are worried about their loved ones who have died before Christ returns. If Jesus rose from the dead, so will you if you're in Christ. Now when we move in the text, the sermon gets a little tricky now, doesn't it? We've all read these verses before. I didn't say the text gets tricky. The sermon's going to get tricky. Because now it's going to start to deal with the end times. And people have set themselves up in camps about the end times. It's almost like political parties. You believe the end's like this, you believe the end's like this. We can't get along. So the next few verses are going to deal with the end. Eschatology, for a big $20 word. And it's going to deal with, you've probably heard before, that people will bring up, it's going to deal with the rapture of the church. You know, a long time ago, in like the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a book series called Left Behind. That probably wasn't too long ago for some of you, but a long time ago. And if you remember that series, it was the biggest thing in the Christian world. Left Behind, the rapture. I don't know how it is now. I don't hang out with those people anymore. But many Christians take these verses in different ways. And this evening, I'm not here to get into any arguments. I'm going to do my best as a minister of the Word of God to tell you what the text says. What was Paul trying to get across to the Thessalonians? And what can we take from this? So in verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So right off the bat, we see what Paul's saying. This is a word of God. He really just said there, thus says the Lord. This we say to you by the word of the Lord. This is truth. This is the word of the Lord. Listen to me. He's clarifying everything that they may be confused with. He wants their full attention. And he says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Man, that day is going to be a great day. With the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. And this is what the Lord taught us too in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 24, in the Olivet Discourse. Paul's not making this up. This has already been taught by Jesus. He uses the same imagery Jesus used. So he wants the Thessalonians to know, this is the word. There's no reason to be sad when people die. Those who remain alive at Jesus' return, those are really the ones that are in second place. Because we won't perceive those who are already dead. And now he explains. And he uses scripture to explain that. Jesus will descend from heaven. And he uses three things. The shout, the voice, the sound of a trumpet. And really, those are all from the Old Testament. Paul is explaining from scripture. You know, when the end comes and Christ returns, it's already been prophesied in the Bible. Nothing's going to shock us. The whole world's going to see. You might see those three things, and you might be thinking, well, Well, we'll hear one thing, and we'll hear another thing, and we'll hear another thing. And I don't think that's what the text says. I don't think we're going to hear the shout, and then we're going to hear the voice, and then we're like, oh, is the next thing going to come? No. What they're describing is all the same thing. Paul is saying this huge noise is going to happen, and Christ will return, showing that nobody is not going to know that Christ is coming back. It's going to be so loud, everyone's going to know that he's here. Because the images that he's using from the Old Testament, they're battle cries. It's when the king comes forth and they blow the trumpets, the shofar in the Old Testament. It's time for battle. Another thing we see in the Old Testament, when the shofar is blown, God's presence is with them. Think of that. When we hear that shout, when we hear that cry of command, we're going to, the Lord's here. He's here. He's returned. And what happens after that shout? And the dead in Christ will rise. That is the moment that all of our sorrow, boom, the dead comes from the ground. It's over. They get glorified bodies. The Apostle Paul writes this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." There's that word sleep again. "We shall not all be stay dead. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." This is the teaching that Paul taught all the churches he was at. We're going to get imperishable bodies. Think eternal. Think you will never die. Think about that body that doesn't get sore from working out, that doesn't get tired when you get old, that doesn't get cancer. Our eyes won't need these things anymore. Think about it. We're going to get new bodies. And now Paul lets them know what's going to happen to the ones who are alive when Christ comes back. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." And now is when the eschatology comes into the text. Now is when people start taking camps. Because that word "caught up" in the text, when Jerome translated the Bible into Latin, for that word "caught up," he used the word "rapture" there. And that's where we get the word "rapture." All the way back when Jerome translated it in Latin. In the Greek, that word's harpazo. They both mean the same thing. They mean to be snatched up. And the text says that. We will be snatched up. There's no denying that part of the text. But you see, that's not the word we're supposed to focus on in that verse. The word we should be focusing on is the word "meet." Let's read the text again. I have to find it real quick. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven like a shout with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up," there's the word "caught up," "together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Now the word "meet" here, Paul could have used many different words for that word "meet," but he uses this one word, apentasis. It's a Greek word, apentasis. And that's the word that opens up this text. And what that word means for "meet" there, it means when you meet somebody, you go out to meet them, and then you follow them the direction they are going. That's what that word means. So So think of the parable that Jesus says about the 10 virgins, and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come, right? The bridegroom goes, they meet him, and then they follow him into the wedding. It's the same word. But see, there's other words, meet, that Paul could have used. You could meet somebody, and then you hang out with them. That's not the word Paul uses. See, what the idea of the rapture is that you get caught up with the Lord, you meet him in the air, and then you go back to heaven. And then you stay there for the tribulation, and you wait, and then you come back. That's not the word meet that Paul uses. The word meet, there's you meet him in the clouds, and then you continue to follow him to where he was going. And where was he going? To the earth. This word was common in the Greek language in the first century. When they would tell stories about the emperors coming back from war, they would go meet the emperor out before the town and they would march in with him. They would meet him and go in. They didn't stay out of town with the emperor. Yay, we're out here with you. And then waited. No, they met him and went. They continued. And that's the word that Paul uses. And that's the word we should be focusing on when we read this text. Because when the Lord returns, he returns. He comes down. And the sad thing is when he comes down, he's going to come judge. Another thing we should think about in this text, when we meet him in the clouds, you know, Paul's an Old Testament scholar. When he says certain words, our mind should jump. What's he thinking of? What could Paul be thinking about clouds here? And our mind should just jump right to the presence of God. We meet Jesus in the presence of God. Now, every time you read about clouds in the Old Testament, think about an Exodus, the cloud, the pillar of cloud that went before them. Think about the cloud in Numbers, when the cloud would come down on the tent with Moses and they knew God was in the camp. Think of when they built the temple and they put the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. What's it say? It says the cloud came in so thick that they couldn't even stay in the temple. They had to leave because the presence of God filled it. All those words, cloud, cloud, cloud. And Jesus says when he comes back, it's like the book of Daniel. The Son of Man comes back on the clouds. Here's another one. Think of the transfiguration. Jesus takes three of his disciples up a mountain. And what happens? A cloud comes down, envelops them. And the cloud says, the text literally says this, the cloud speaks and says, this is my son. Listen to him. It's the presence of God. So when we get caught up to meet Jesus in the sky, we get caught up into the clouds. We get caught up in the presence of God. And the coolest part is Paul continues and says, we will always be with the Lord. We will always be with the Lord. And that's why the last verse of our text says this, therefore, comfort one another with these words. This should be an encouragement for us. This shouldn't scare us. It's supposed to comfort us. We're not supposed to fight about the end times, how Jesus is going to return. No. You're supposed to read this text and go, one day we're going to die. One day we're going to be put in the ground. But we don't stay in the ground. Christ is going to return and we're going to rise with imperishable bodies. Comfort one another with those words. How often do we do that? How often do we comfort one another with the resurrection? Maybe at a funeral we'll do it. But in everyday life, do you ever stop and say, one day we're getting a new body? You know what Christ did for us? Not only did he pay the price of our sin, not only did he cover us with his blood, but he's the first fruits of the resurrection. Since he rose from the dead, we're going to rise from the dead, and we're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. Take comfort in those words. That's to put a smile on your face. There's no grave that's going to hold our bodies down. None. And I hope you go away thinking that. I hope you go away remembering that. There's so many benefits of the resurrection. Can we comfort one another with those words? I hope we can. Let's pray. Father God, what a blessing it is to know that the grave couldn't hold Christ down. That he's free. He's up sitting on the throne of heaven. And he'll return to take us with him. And we will get a new body. And we will be with the Lord forever. Oh, what a blessing that is. Help us to remember that when times get tough. Help us to remember that when we see people getting sick. Help us remember that when we put them into the ground. They don't stay there. They don't stay there. They will rise. And we will spend eternity with Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.